हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ओम् नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने I started the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad class long ago and wanted to do the complete Upanishad. Therefore, I started from the very beginning, opening mantra, where Upasanani, the meditations are discussed. Because we are not meeting every day or even 2-3 classes a week, we only meet once a week for this class. We cannot complete the whole of Upanishad if we do like this. Therefore, I thought, let me drop the Upasana portion, only do the Upanishadic, actual, the content of the Upanishadic portion of the Upanishad. Even Pujya Swamiji does only 3 chapters of Brihadaranyaka, or even other acharyas also do only that, because they try to cover only the important Vedantic portion. But in between I thought, because people come and join us always, people are not always with us from the beginning. Some of you are from the beginning, some of us came and joined between. And Brihadaranyakam is a too subtle text to continue. Therefore, in between I thought, let me prepare you for that text. So I've been talking a lot of things, what all we need, some basic understanding. So different class I've been doing. Probably I can start from the following class. But today I want to complete with what I've been talking, the general information I've been giving in order to be prepared for the understanding of the contents of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. I'm sure people enjoyed these general talks than any other talks, because it gave a lot of clarity also. Last class, we discussed 3 words. Okay, just introduce the 3 words. Satta or Satyam. Satta means existence. Satyam is a neuter gender word. Satta is a feminine gender word, which means existence. Satyam also means the reality, the truth. And here, we talk about threefold satta. Pratibhasika satta. Or Pratibhasikam Satyam. Then Vyavaharika Satta, Vyavaharikam Satyam. There is a Paramarthika Satta, Paramarthikam Satyam. I also said Paramarthikam Satyam is absolute reality. Vyavaharikam Satyam is relative or objective or empirical reality, and Pratibhasikam Satyam is subjective reality. So that which is subjectively real has Pratibhasika Satta. I also gave certain definitions. The Pratibhasika Satta, let us go from Pratibhasikam. The Pratibhasika Satta or Satyam is that which enjoys which enjoys existence for length of time, and it can get negated even as the knower of that object continues to exist, continues to be there. I give the example. Anything which enjoys existence for length of time, but it gets negated even when the knower of that object continues to be there. I gave the example of rope snake. When the rope is mistaken for a snake, snake exists for the person who pursues the snake. Even though snake is a product of erroneous perception, but still for the person who sees that snake, the snake is very real. As long as he doesn't see what actually is. That snake, the rope which is mistaken for a snake, the snake which exists, that snake enjoys existence, enjoys existence for a given person. In a given person's perception, in a given person's understanding, that rope is real for length of time. And that snake is real, that snake is real, even though it is not there, it is real for a given person, for a given time, for a given length of time, in given perception. It is real. So, what can we say? That snake enjoys subjective reality. The snake has paramarthika satta. Subjectively real, it has paramarthika satta. The snake has, snake enjoys pratibhasika satta. The snake enjoys pratibhasika satta. Why do you say that? It gets negated, the same knower continues to be there, and he doesn't get it negated. The same knower, same experiencer, in whose books, in whose perception, the snake was very real, gets negated when he discovers the rope. What is being there is rope. So, in the wake of knowledge of the rope, and who discovers the rope? The same pramata. The same pramata, the same knower discovers the rope, and in the light of the knowledge of the rope, the same pramata finds the snake, the disappearance of the snake. The snake disappears. What happened? The snake, rope snake, which enjoyed subjective reality, which was objectively real, gets negated, but the knower of the snake, who perceived the snake before, he continues to be there, seeing the snake being not there. Okay? Such a reality is called pratibhasika satta, pratibhasikam satyam. So, what is the definition there? Pramatari sati yad badhyate tad pratibhasikam. Pramatari sati, even as the pramata continues to be there, nothing happens to pramata, he doesn't undergo any change, he doesn't disappear, pramata continues to be there, but the prameyam object gets negated. This is one of the definitions. The second definition I gave you, this object which enjoys pratibhasika satyam, sasatta, which is subjectively real, does not serve any purpose, is of no use. Which means that it is of no utility. And technically, this object subjectively real, not being useful, not serving any purpose, is said to be, is there, arthakriya. Arthakriya means usefulness, okay, utility. So, pratibhasika satyasya, arthakriya nasti, which means the object which is subjectively real, which enjoys subjective reality, is of no use, doesn't serve any purpose. For which the example given was what? The mirage water cannot quench the thirst. One cannot go and have a dip in that water when you feel very hot. It's of no use. Okay. Example I give. The third point I said, what is that which contributes for this pratibhasika satyam? How that something which doesn't exist at all, that which is not really there, how does it come into existence? What causes, what lends existence to something which is not there? How is it the snake which is not there, but it's there and it is real for the person who is seeing? What contributes for such existence of an object? Lends existence to such an object which is not really there. It is improper use of pramanam. Okay, the problem when the pramanam, the means of knowledge, is not used properly, it results in perception of what is erroneous perception. The erroneous perception causes the pratibhasika satyam, which means it results in objects, perception of objects which do not really have existence. Okay. The three important points I told you. Then we moved on to vyavaharika satyam. And you can also say our own dream is real only for the person who is seeing it. It cannot be negated as tucham, completely unreal. And the same thing is not real also. It is real as long as the person is in dream. When he wakes up from dream and he can understand it is not there anymore. Therefore, it is not absolutely real, nor is it relatively real. It is subjectively real. Okay. Now, what is vyavaharikam satyam, or what? Anything which enjoys existence as long as the pramata is. When the pramata resolves, the pramata status resolves, then the prameyam also resolves. What is objectively, empirically, relatively real gets negated along with the pramata. For example, this universe experienced in the waking state enjoys only vyavaharika satta. Even this universe, which is experienced by all of us, it is not like my dream or your dream, which is real only for you or for me, respectively, when we were in dream. But this universe which experienced in the waking state, which is real for all of us, because all of us are objectively experiencing it, isn't it? Objectively it is real, because it is not only for me, it is there for everyone who is awake. Whoever is awake, whoever is not asleep, this universe is. None of us can deny the existence of the sun, or the light, or this being day, etc. This universe also even though it is objectively real, relatively real, empirically real, it's available for experience, available for perception, still this universe also has only objective reality, empirical reality, relative reality. It enjoys only vyavaharika satta. Asya jagrat prapanchasya vyavaharika satta eva. There's only relative, it enjoys only relative reality. It's only relatively real. Why? Because this universe also gets negated. Anything which gets negated is what? Not absolute. Not only Pratibhasikam gets negated, even as the Pramata is there, it gets negated. You change. Oh, before it, the snake is here, you're screaming. You can say, oh no, no more snake. You can say it is not there. Change it. But this Vyavaharika Prapancha, which seems to be real, is also gets negated when the Pramata falls asleep. The knower. Pramata means what here? Isn't it? Pramata, when the Pramata is Vishwaha, the knower enjoys the status of being the Vishwaha. The I sense, I the knower. No? When resolves. What does it mean resolving? No resolving. The Pramata goes means what? When there is no manifestation of knowledge of the existence of self obtaining in the form of a thought in terms of I am, the I sense resolves. Okay? Along with the I sense, you what know? The Pramata. Along with the I sense, when I sense is there in terms of I am, there is knowledge of the self being the knower. When you say you are, you also know you are the knower. Yourself being the knower also is known. In waking state, when you say I am, you can also say I am the knower. I, the self, am the knower of the universe. You can say that. You know you are, you know you are the knower. Whereas when you are not knowing you are, when you are not knowing you are the knower, then the whole this universe experiences the waking state also gets negated. Isn't it? In deep sleep state, what happens to Jagrat Prapanchaha? Jagrat Prapanchaha, don't say the universe is, okay? I'm not denying the existence of the universe. The universe does not exist for you. So what if the universe is there? Okay? If the universe is not there for you, and how can you talk about the universe? Because you yourself are not there, how can you talk about the universe? Is it clear? I want to see the difference. Which means, the waking universe also gets negated when along with the Pramata. So what is the difference now? Pramatari sati yad bhadyate tat pratibhas, tasya pratibhasika satta. That which gets negated even as the Pramata is there, that enjoys subjective reality. But that which gets negated along with the knower, Pramata, has only Vyavaharika Satta. So Vyavaharika Satta is there for this universe experience in the waking world. Because it gets negated along with the experiencer, the knower. So what should you say? Pramatra saha, not pramatari sati, pramatra saha yad badhyate tasya vyavaharika satta. What you should say? Pramatari sati yad badhyate yasya badha bhavati தத் தஸ்ய பாத்திபாசிக்க சத்தா. பிரமாத்ராசக யத் பாத்தியதே தஸ்ய வியாவகாரிக்க சத்தா. பிரமாத்தா ஆல்சோ ஹேஸ் டு கோ. பிரமாத்தா ரிமைன்ஸ், நோ ஐ எம் ஹியர், த வேர்ல்ட் டஸ் டிஸப்பியர்ஸ். நோ, as long as you are here, knowing you are, you are always there. Okay, Swamiji used to say, you would never go, nothing can push you out, you can never get knocked off, you are always there. Nee kalluli manganappa, Swamiji used to say that. You are always there, you know, but there is a time, there is an occasion, you know, you get knocked off. But what does it mean? Along, which means without you, the universe can never be there. You can never say, I was not there, the universe is. I am not here, the universe is. You can never say that. I am here, the snake is not there, you can say. I was, snake was. I am, but now the snake is not there. You can say that. Now the rope is. But I am, the world is. I am, the world is not. No. This world we experienced gets negated only when you get negated, when you get knocked, you are knocked off. It means when you are knowing you are, knowing you are the knower, the world also enjoys existence. When you are not knowing you are, not knowing you are the knower, then the world also gets negated. Is it clear now? Therefore, pramatra saha, along with the pramata, the premeya prapancha also gets negated. And such a universe enjoys only vyavaharika satta. Which means you cannot call this universe. You can't say this universe enjoys paramarthika satta. It has absolute reality, absolutely real. You cannot say, why? There is a time the world disappears. It is not there for you. And vyavaharika satta is useful relatively. It serves a purpose. It is useful relatively. Isn't it? Relatively mean what? It is useful only when it is experienced. This jagat is useful. It serves a purpose only when it is experienced. When it is not there, gets knocked, negated, then it doesn't serve any purpose. In sleep, the universe is of no use for you. Because you yourself are not there. You yourself are there not knowing you are. Then, in dream also, even though you have a lot of food, we learnt in Mandukya Upanishad, even though you have a lot of food cooked and stored in the whole of your freezer, it is full of frozen food, but in dream you are very hungry, but still doesn't have any purpose, isn't it? Therefore, what does it mean? It is selectively useful. Okay, vyavahare, vyavahare sati, it is useful. Artha kriya asti. Okay, now we'll move on to the paramarthikam satyam. So, paramarthikam satyam, paramarthika satta means that which can never be negated at all, any time, anywhere, is said to be having paramarthika satta. That which can never be negated at all, has paramarthika satta, enjoys absolute reality. What is that which cannot be negated at all? No, trikala abadhitam satyam. Trikala abadhitam satyam. Even when the universe does not exist, even the knower status is there, or knower status is not there. The known is there, the known is not there. The duality is there, the duality is not there. Whether the experience of duality is there, or there's a non-dual experience is there. In non-dual experience, there is something. something which is non-negatively there. There is non-dual experience in deep sleep state. In waking state, there is experience of world of duality. And in between, in dream also what? There is experience of duality, of the subtle duality. But still, in each and every state of experience, one gets negated. In deep sleep state, both dream, Patibhasika Satya, the dream world which enjoys Patibhasika Satta, the subjectively real world also gets negated in deep sleep state. Objectively real waking universe also gets negated in deep sleep state. It is not there. Even the knower status also is not there in deep sleep state. The known also is not there in deep sleep state. Then what is there in deep sleep state? No? Without the knower status, without the known, isn't it? Also, there is still a knower. That knower which is there, without enjoying the status of being the knower, without having the knower status, that which is there, knowing, the knower status being not there, knowing the world being not there, knowing the ignorance, knowing the painlessness, knowing the sukham, that which is there is always there. That knower is always there. Knowing, having the knower status, the knower is. Without having the knower status, also the knower is. Okay? The knower is always there. How? Enjoying the knower status, the knower is. Without enjoying the knower status, the knower is. That knower experiencer is a formless reality. And we arrive at that reality, formless reality in terms of its nature of formlessness. Why? Because we arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. Why does, what is there is knower? Why does the knower know? Why does that knower know? Why does that knower know? I'm repeating it. The knower knows because knowing is Swarupam. Why does the sun illumine? Do you ever ask the question? Sun should keep quiet. Why does sun illumine? It should go away somewhere. Why does it illumine? Not only illumine, it also sends a lot of light, heat waves. Not the light waves, heat waves also. Suffocate. So why does the sun illumine? No, sun doesn't illumine. If you ask the question, why sun, why do you illumine? Why are you so hot? Why do you make us feel hot? The sun will say, no, I don't make you feel hot. I don't illumine anything. I'm just here. I'm minding my own business. I'm just keeping quiet. I'm just here. What does it mean? Sun does not need to do anything to illumine, also to heat everything here. Presence is enough. Because illumining, heating is the nature of the sun, Swarupam. Similarly, why does this knower know the ajnanam? Why does the knower know the nothingness, the knower of nothingness? Why does the knower know the nothingness? Why does the knower know the dream? Why does the knower know the waking universe? Okay? Because knowing is the Swarupam. The knower knows because knowing is the nature. Therefore, this is how we arrive at. This is how we can, we should, we are supposed to arrive at the reality only as the Swarupam of the knower. Swarupam of the knower means truth of the knower. Truth of the knower means that without which knowing is not possible. That because of the presence of which alone knowing is possible. that for knowing is the swarupam, knowing is the power. Okay? Knowing is the nature, knowing is the power. Why does it? So we arrive at the reality only in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, we have to use some word there to understand the reality. And the Shastram uses the word Chit, Chaitanyam or Jnanam. The first, the only way of stumbling upon arriving at the reality is only in terms of its nature of knowing. There's no other way. You can never understand existence, you can never understand limitlessness, you can never understand anything else unless you understand the reality first in terms of its nature of knowing. What does Shastram do? That is why Shastram, the very beginning, in the very kindergarten class, the opening class itself, starts with the Krishiveka Prakriya, and there it helps you distinguish the knower from the known. Now, first of all, we are very gross in the very beginning. Very, very gross. Too naive. Nothing we know. The Shastram has to somehow, Shastra's aim is to help us understand Brahma. Let's start with, he has to give us some crayons. And what is it now? First of all, make us understand not the language, subject-object. Here you have to understand subject-object. Subject and object. The knower and the known. And he has to show, using the drishyaveka prakriya, the knower known analysis, Shastram first of all help us understand what I am not. That is, we have to understand, how does Upanishad make us, help us understand, arrive at what we are, essentially. So, the Shastram's job is, Shastram does not teach us what you are essentially. It makes you understand what you are not. The important work of Upanishad is what? To make us, help us understand what I am not. What I am not means what the knower is not. So this Drikthrishiveka Prakriya helps us distinguish the knower from the known. Then it helps us understand what? The knower, I am the knower, and thereby it helps you understand what I, the knower, am not. It only makes you understand what you are not. Thereafterwards, you have to claim what you are. Leaves you alone. When everything is negated as not you, what cannot be negated as non-self, you claim as yourself. Got it? That is important lesson. Let it not forget. So, that which cannot be negated at all is that which obtains as the knower. But that which is always there without the knower status or with the knower status is the reality, abstract, subtlest. There is nothing which is subtler than the reality. Why? Because even the knowledge of anything, knower is subtler than the knowledge. Knowledge is subtler than the known. Okay, the known can be subtle or gross. The known can be subtle or gross. Known can be gross, grosser, grossest. Subtle, subtler, subtlest. But the knowledge of the known is subtler than the known. And the knower is subtler than knowledge. Knower is subtler than the knowledge. Therefore, the knowledge of an object is called vritti jnanam. This knowledge which is the swarupam of the knower is called swarupa jnanam, pure knowledge. Therefore, this is the most abstract, subtlest. And how do you arrive at it? In terms of its nature of knowing. Its nature, swarupam is knowing. Therefore, the word jnanam, chit or chaitanyam, only a word which implies the reality in terms of its nature of knowing. It does not indicate the reality. Understand? Like any word denotes, indicates a given object, whereas the words used in the Shastram do not denote or indicate the reality. The every word used in the Shastram implies the reality in terms of its given nature. And what is that first, how to arrive at the reality first? You have that only in terms of its nature of knowing as the swarupam of the knower. Only when you go, negate everything as the known, known, known. What cannot be negated is the knower, because the knower is sitting all the time having the knower status without having the knower status. And you ask the question, who is this knower? What is this knower? How is this knower? Who this knower is? And you have to say that the knower is that which obtains as the knower, that which is there as the knower is the very truth, reality. There is no knower other than the reality. And you understand, that is when you understand the subtleness of the reality, how subtle it is. You know, because of which knowledge itself is possible, means subtler than the knowledge. And that reality is of the nature of formlessness. Understand formlessness, attributelessness. Formlessness, attributelessness is the swarupam. Is it clear? Understand the formlessness and attributelessness. Only when you understand the fact that reality arrived at as the swarupam of knower is subtler than knowledge, you have to understand. Why it is subtler than knowledge? The pure knowledge, because of the presence of which the knowledge itself is possible, is subtler than knowledge. Everything is subtle here. Then you, therefore, what do you understand? What attribute does it have? Knowing is the swarupam. Why call swarupam not an attribute? Because swarupam is that which does not come and go. That which is intrinsic is permanent. Therefore, it doesn't go. Attributes can change. Swarupam doesn't change. Therefore, swarupam is, knowing is the swarupam, not a guna, not an attribute. So, we understand the reality as pure knowledge, then that pure knowledge is also what? Implied by the term pure knowledge is of the nature of formlessness. Then you understand is of the nature of attributelessness. And then you say, it is this reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, which alone is there as the knower, only knower alone, lends existence. Why does it lend existence? Why does the reality lend existence? Lending existence means what? Knowing is lending existence. Knowing is lending existence. Knowing is swarupam. Knowing is lending existence. Knowing is, in fact, illumining. I want to understand all these words very carefully. Knowing is illumining. Illumining is bringing into light. Bringing something into light is lending existence. Is it clear? All the three, I'm telling you, what all Swamiji uses, I'm just telling you here. Knowing is illumining. Illumining is bringing into light. Bringing something into light is what? Lending existence. Lending existence is also what? Creating. Bringing into manifestation. Okay? Lending existence is what? Bringing into manifestation. Illumining is bringing into manifestation. Bringing into manifestation is what? Lending existence. Let me make it very clear. Now this mic is here. All these opaque things are here. Light is, what does light do? Light does not create anything here. Light, by its mere presence, illumines. If it is not illumined, if it is covered in darkness, even if you have very clear distortion-free vision, this object cannot be seen. If it is not seen, it is not known. Unknown is as good as non-existent. Unknown is not non-existent. Please be careful. Unknown is as good as non-existent. Unknown is as good as non-existent. So for any given object, anything, whether the dream universe or the waking universe, for it to have the status of being existent, it must become known. For it to become known, meanwhile, it must become manifest. For it to become manifest, it must be brought into, it must be brought to light. It must be illumined. Therefore, it must become known. Isn't it now? So, being known is being existent. Being unknown is as good as being non-existent. I want to understand existence, okay? I'm taking the next step. Then the next question comes, why does it know? Because it's nature. Now, therefore, why does it lend existence? It doesn't lend existence by its nature. Because knowing is its nature, therefore illumining is its nature. Illumining is its nature, bringing objects into manifestation is its swarupam. Therefore, lending existence is its nature. Okay. For this knowledge to lend existent, it must be already existent. How can a non-existent thing lend existence? Understand? The formless, attributeless, abstract, subtlest reality, because of the presence of which alone knowledge is possible, that reality must be already existent to lend existence. If it is not there, how can it know? The sun, by its nature, it illumines. The sun is, that's what Swarupam is. It illumines by its very presence. Similarly, the knowledge is there. Knowledge is existent, reality in the form of consciousness. Now, in terms of it, reality in consciousness is. Why does reality exist? What does it depend upon for its existence? No. Nothing, okay? It is of the nature of self-existence. No, I want you to understand the meaning of the Swatasatta. That's what I'm talking. Don't think I'm simply wasting my time. I'm talking to you something which already you know. why it is of the nature of existence. Why does it exist? Being existent is its swarupam. Being existent, being independent is the very nature of reality, the consciousness, pure knowledge. You can't ask, why does it exist? Okay? It exists. This is swarupam. Therefore, we say, it is of the nature of existence. Reality, arrived at in terms of its nature of knowledge or consciousness, is of the nature of self-existence. Don't need to use the word self-existence. And it is this reality is always there, because nature is existence, is always there. Therefore, as the knower, it is always there. Anything and everything other than the knower consciousness, which is of the nature of existence, everything else is object of knowledge, object of consciousness. Okay? Everything is object of consciousness, object of knowledge. So, in that list of objects of consciousness, we start from the subtler one, to start with the time. The abstract, intangible objects are first start with the time. Start with the time. Time is object of knowledge. Space is object of knowledge. And all the forms, names, functions which exist within the realm of time and space, all of them constitute the objective universe, which are nothing but elemental model. Elements, the elementals, living, non-living, mobile, immobile beings, actions, functions, will, and the will-involved actions, voluntary, involuntary, functions and actions, the results of actions, laws which govern the results of actions, and the experience of pairs of opposites. Experience of pairs of opposites. All of them constitute this objective universe experienced in the waking state. This entire objective universe experienced in the waking state, okay, including our pairs of experience of pairs of opposites, all of them get knocked off once the knower resolves, the knower status resolves. That's why in sleep there's no experience of pairs of opposites. You know, neither experience pain nor do you experience pleasure. Neither you experience likes and dislikes. You do not experience likes and dislikes. There's no raga or dvesha. There's no victory and defeat. Loss and gain you don't have in deep sleep state. Okay? Then you experience some sukham that is not actually the pleasure. What is the difference between that sukham and the sukham you experience in waking state? The pleasure you experience in waking state is dependent on the perception of a given object. There, the sukham you experience just because you are yourself in sleep. There's no object. Sukham born because of yourself being yourself is sukham. Okay? Whereas, the pleasure you experience in waking state is for which the nimittam, the object, becomes instrumental. Even that Sarasa yourself, but still instrumental. What I want to say here, therefore, this reality, which is stumbled upon in terms of its nature of knowing as pure knowledge, is the subtlest. There's nothing subtler than, please understand another fact, there's nothing beyond consciousness. What else is there beyond consciousness, I want to know. You will go mad. There's nothing beyond consciousness. Unarvukkappal ondrumillai. There's nothing beyond consciousness. Nothing beyond the reality. That is why we call it parampurul. Absolute. You can use the word absolute because there's nothing beyond this. Okay? And this knowledge, which is of the nature of existence. Okay, now you know, the formless, attributeless reality, which is of the nature of existence, is now distinct, free from all limitations of objects. All the objects have limitations. Objects of consciousness are subject to limitations, whereas consciousness is not subject to limitations. Because, understand, why it is subject to limitations? Because consciousness is of the nature of independence. Independence means it is of the nature of existence, self-existence. Therefore, we understand what? Consciousness has no beginning. Understand, being the reality, it has no beginning. Everything begins, for something to begin, the knowledge must happen. Isn't it? So, existence presupposes knowledge. Therefore, existence, something is, means it has, then it does, when did it come into existence? There is a beginning. Everything has a beginning. All objects have beginning. All objects have an end. In between beginning and end, everything is subject to change also. Whereas consciousness has no beginning, no end. Always there, and doesn't is of the nature of changelessness. Consciousness does not undergo any change or whatsoever, and it is free from all limitations. Therefore, it is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude. Time-wise infinite, spatially infinite, object-wise infinite. Why? Because, tell me, which form, denoted by which name, associated with which function, exists outside of knowledge? Tell me. Is there any object, subtlest fact, even subtlest fact, abstract fact, discovered within the realm of physics or science, does it exist outside of knowledge? No, we can say, Stephen Hawking discovered this, discovered that, so many facts, history of time. What history of time? I really respect that person very much. Amazing man. But still, I want to understand the limitation of science. Whatever is discovered, whatever is discovered, whatever is known, whatever is known. So many departments of so many universities, so many researches are going on. They're going to discover many facts. They're going to enhance our technology, definitely. We're going to have more and more of comforts. Now we can have four people can see each other and talk on WhatsApp. Latest one. We have all these things we have now. You know, we can have conference meeting on WhatsApp. When I started in the beginning, I had to struggle with the Skype. Four computers in front of me spreading Rodney's and my Peter's and my computer. Now, one Zoom, I can see all of them. This is going to change again. Now, latest is what? Now, we can, all four of us can talk on WhatsApp. What I'm saying, even though whatever new discoveries are coming, all of anything discovered, any subtlest fact discovered is object of consciousness. Understand? Therefore, an object means an object of knowledge, object of perception. An object means it is of the nature of inertness. It does not have independent existence of its own. Existence of any object presupposes the knowledge of object. Discovery of object, isn't it? The discovery or knowledge presupposes what? The knower. Knower is pure knowledge reality. Understand? Therefore, the known is always, the known is existent, but the known has never has independent existence. Known is always dependent on knowledge, the knower knowledge, the knower consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, the known is always mithya. The known is matter. The known is of the nature of change, of the nature of undergoing changes. Therefore, whether we like it or not, known will go and come. Known can never remain permanently changelessly. Goes and comes and goes and comes. That is why the object, the experience is not the same. Experience undergoes a change. We have to say different state of experience. The state of experience changes. Therefore, the object of experience changes as well. But what doesn't change is the experiencer. Is it clear? Therefore, know this reality, this consciousness, which is of the nature of existence, the formlessness, with the formless, abstract, attributeless existence, the consciousness, existence, is free from all limitations, if it's of the nature of limitlessness. And how many consciousnesses are there? One and the only consciousness. Isn't it? Therefore, what is the biggest? What is the greatest here? Is anything greater than consciousness? That's why Param Brahma. Okay? Param Brahma. Now I tell you, it is this consciousness, Paramarthikam Satyam. Absolute reality. So only this reality, abstract, formless, attributeless reality, which is of the nature of self-existence, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, which is free from all limitations, which is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude. We have to say one more thing. It fills everything. How does it fill? Filling is not a physical filling here. When every object which enjoys its existence in consciousness is in and through pervaded by consciousness. Just as opaque object which shines in the presence of light is pervaded by light. So this pervasiveness is very subtle again. Okay, consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness. the physical space is pervaded by consciousness. Now imagine, space itself is too much for us, for our gross mind. Comprehending space itself is too much. How vast the space is, where the space begins, where the space ends, we do not know. With this little buddhi, you know, even if you get under the aircraft or the rocket and go over, wherever you go, you're going only in space. You can never understand, never comprehend how vast this space is, how limitless this space is. Space is spatially limitless, but this space also is time-wise limited, subject to time limitation. And this space, there's no form, no name, no function which enjoys existence outside of space. Everything is within the realm of time and space. Okay, kala desha yoho eva sarvam api jagat vartate. Everything exists within the realm of time and space. And this time and space themselves do not exist outside of consciousness. Therefore, time-wise also limitless, spatially also is limitless. Therefore, consciousness pervades this space and everything which exists within the realm of space. Is it clear? All pervasiveness, do you understand? Knowledge pervades the known. I remove the word knower now. You're all too advanced students, okay? Not kindergarten students anymore. Knowledge pervades, consciousness pervades. Do you still believe you haven't understood the teaching? I feel like going away now. Enough. I see what I'm taking to you. What I'm saying, there's a sense of fulfillment for me when I'm talking to you this. You know, therefore, sarvagatattvam. In the beginning when I told sarvagatam, you must have wondered. Now you must see that. All pervasiveness. Isn't it very abstract fact, but it's a fact. The non-contradictory fact. The fact cannot contradict. A view can contradict. It is not the view. You must see right now. The very class you must see as it is communicated. You must see this fact. Isn't it? So, all pervasiveness is there. Therefore, nothing is outside of the truth. Therefore, every form, name and function, every form denoted by any given word, associated with any function, enjoys existence, shines only in the light of consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, we have every object here. Started with the thought now. Today I am giving different meaning. Every object which doesn't exist outside of knowledge. The process of knowing is different. But now understand this much. Every object which shines in the light of consciousness, light of knowledge. Okay, light of knowledge is a reflection of consciousness. You change the word instead of reflection, manifestation of consciousness. Why? Because the light, the one colorless, changeless, motionless light doesn't draw your attention when it is there. But when colorful things come and move in the light, and through the moving colorful things which draw your attention, you also understand the importance of light. there you light gets light, you can, there is a possibility of drawing attention. Isn't clear? Therefore, we can say every object is manifestation of knowledge. The whole cosmos is manifestation of knowledge. Every small thing is manifestation of knowledge. Sound, form, color, taste, touch, pain, pleasure, friction, everything is manifestation of knowledge. And this knowledge is not touched, tainted by anything which shines in it. Just as the object which colors, which shine in the light, which are dependent on light for its shining, the pink or yellow or green or any color, shines in the presence of light because of the light, blessed by the presence of light, shines, but does not touch, taint the light. The fragrance which enjoys its existence in the light of consciousness does not pollute. Understand? The colors which shine light do not disturb or pollute, do not touch. The light remains ever pure. Similarly, the light of consciousness, in the presence of which everything shines, nothing touches. Pain, pleasure, victory, defeat, honor, dishonor, heat, cold, all the different pairs of opposites, also are objects of experience, objects of knowledge, obtaining in the form of subtle thoughts, thought forms. No, not the pain, pleasure, victory, defeat, etc. are subtle objects. They do not have gross forms perceptible through sense organs. But they are sakshi pratyaksha. They are available for sakshi. Isn't it? And all those also, what now? Objects. Therefore, every emotion is also what? Shines in the consciousness. Nothing taints, touches consciousness. Therefore, it is asanga. Understand now? Consciousness is ever asangaha. And this consciousness, because it is of the edge of infinitude and limitlessness, it is implied by the term Brahma. And this conscious reality, obtaining in him of consciousness, is nothing beyond, greater than this reality, infinite reality. Therefore, it is also denoted by another adjective, Param Brahma. And because it pervades everything in and through, it obtains the innermost essence of everything, living and non-living thing also, manifest and then intractably, non-intractably, it is there as the innermost essence of everything, pervading everything. Therefore, it is implied by the term Atma. And this alone is said to be, it has swatasatta. Say no? Swataha satta. Say no?
Swataha.
Now, the paramarthika satyam alone has swataha satta. Swatasatta. And vyavaharika satyam, so that which enjoys vyavaharika satta, that which enjoys subjective reality, that which has objective reality, they all have dependent existence, paratasatta. Say?
Paratasatta.
Whereas absolute reality has swataha satta. Swatasatta. So, paratasatta, swatasatta. Paramarthika satyam, vyavaharika satyam, anything which is the objectively real, subjectively real factors have paratasatta. dependent existence mithya. Whereas consciousness as swatasatta, it is of the nature of independent existence. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.